in the studio, Rodrigo Hill. Morning.
Bom dia, Morena. Good morning.
Bom dia is...
Is good morning.
In
Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Yeah. Bom dia.
You are from Brazil.
Precisely.
And you're going to be doing an artist talk on Thursday, 6:30 at the Old School Arts Centre on your photography?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And you, we interviewed you before about your photography.
Yes.
And thank you for taking photos with your phone.
Yes.
But it's a challenge, right? Because you probably have quite expensive gear fancy gear. Not expensive,
no.
But you have...
No, I don't have this thing called guess gear syndrome something. Gear acquisition syndrome.
Oh, yes.
I'm immune to that.
You're immune to that? Does yeah. your bank account make you immune to that?
In that, yes. Yeah. I like to work with unconventional gear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the phone's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, in a way.
Well, that is, you're teaching, so is setting up challenges like that is, here's a boring thing in a phone, now make a good photo out of it. Do you ever do that to your students?
Well, it's all about point of view, you know. Photography is about having an opinion on something.
Okay.
So doesn't matter what gear you use, as long as you have an opinion and a point of view on whatever you're photographing.
Okay.
So that's what it is about, I think.
And you were exhibiting at the Raglan Arts Weekend?
I did, yeah. It was an experiment for me because I never sold work. I never produced work to sell. I always produced work to be exhibited.
Yeah.
So I had projects and funding and things like that, but never did it with the sale as an end point.
Right. And how did it, I heard it was some artists I've spoken to thought it was pretty quiet arts weekend.
Yeah.
Did it feel like that for you?
It felt, yeah.
Although you don't have anything to compare it to, obviously.
Yeah, but. No. I really enjoyed the experience of like having the space there, the Petit Galerie.
Yeah.
Le Petit Galerie, I have quite a good wall space, so I could play with my photos, you know, and things like that. And it was a lot of traffic. The sales weren't great, but I had this goal of breaking even, you know, covering my costs.
Yeah.
It's not a very ambitious thing in the business point of view, but I was, So I think I kind of maybe just under covering my costs, so...
Yeah,
maybe I run a loss on covering the costs.
So your photography, if we could describe it using words, it's obviously not commercial. It's not commercial. It's not photography done to appeal to tourists, I guess, which obviously quite a bit is around here, and that's certainly makes sense that you have that around here.
Yeah,
it's photography art to stimulate.
Yeah, well, there's
provoke.
Yeah, yeah, it's photography as art.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I work within the sort of documentary mode, but not necessarily to document.
Yeah.
My goal is not to document someone else's life, or it's more to make sense of something. So I don't want to, you know, as photographers, say back in the 50s, they had the goal of, the more social goal of reforming life, you know.
Yeah.
I want to understand the world around me. So I use documentary as a mode to understand the issues, the world, you know, things that are around me, and to also express myself.
So what are you going to be talking about Thursday night?
Well,
and what are you going to be showing?
Well, I'm going to be showing early work that I did in Raglan, and especially in this particular work here that I did, I collaborated with a friend of mine, a very special big soul brother of mine. His name is Gustavo Faraco.
Yeah.
And he's from Brazil. He's actually listening now. I want to send a big hug to him right now.
Where is he right now?
He's in Brazil right now.
What's the time there?
The time there is 10 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah. Hello, yesterday.
Yeah. So, yesterday evening.
Yeah.
Last night, whatever. So, Gustavo, he was living in Australia in 2009, 10, 11. And he came here twice. And he was a, well, he was initially a film student, and then he graduated as a film, as a filmmaker. He studied filmmaking in Australia. We came down here, and he really pushed me to, because he, well, the whole story, I got to go back a little bit, but he did some short films, and he did this thing called, like, he filmed people as in a portrait setting, but for 10, 15 seconds. So it was like a live portrait. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving, kind of moving portrait.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he did two short films. One was called Four Rolls, and the other, and the second, the sequel was called Stills, or Still. Beautiful films with, you know, with a sequence of this sort of live portraits and scenes and people that he met in the streets and so forth. And he had a composer that made a score, a soundtrack for the film. So it was beautifully made.
Yeah.
And then he came here with all those ideas and it was like, wow, this is great. And then he was like, what about if I do the moving images and you do the stills, you know, with the same angle. So we're going to do a full body kind of shot.
Yeah.
Scale, and then a very close, tight photograph of the face of the person. So we engage. We set out to do this, and we started sort of meeting locals here and engaging with people and collaborating.
Yeah,
you know. So he was doing the film kind of moving image part, and I was doing the same thing with photography. So we have this portraits. In the film, so and everything was photographed and well shot in 16mm film,
yeah.
Moving image, beautiful black and white, and I photographed mine on 120mm large format film, black and white.
Yeah.
So.
Are you going to show some of this?
Yeah. So we look. This thing's been an archive for 12 years.
Has it been shown?
Never.
It was never shown.
No. Because we didn't...
Scoop, folks, Thursday night.
Yeah, because this the whole story goes like he had to leave, go back to Brazil. And after the second trip he came here, he had to go back to Brazil. And we never actually have a chance to finish the project or exhibit it anywhere. So we have all the material, raw footage. We edited a short version or about 2.5 minutes of the film, and we have the photographs.
Yeah.
So we never have the sort of chance to show this to anyone. I gifted prints to some of the locals in Tangata Whenua here in Raglan, but some people never seen their photograph or their film, you know. So it's a great opportunity. If you remember 12 years ago, there's two guys coming to you and photographing you. And filming, and if you know, just come along, and because you will have the opportunity to see those photographs and the film from 12 years ago.
Can we do the exhibition anyway?
Well, I need some funding, so attention to funders there, please. Creative New Zealand in that.
We could do it. We do it at the old school, though.
Yeah.
Were you anticipating doing it at like in Hamilton at the museum?
No. I want to do it locally.
You want to do it locally?
Yeah. So if we ended up doing it, it has to be locally.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it's about.
And it would be great if Gustavo could come.
Oh, that's the expensive bit.
Yeah, if he could come as well, because, you know, it's a collaboration.
Yeah.
So there's no point of just me having me there in the exhibition if it's not here. So.
Well, at least he's allowed to come now. That's a slight improvement.
Yeah, he's allowed.
The way things have been.
Yeah, he's going to be welcome here.
Yeah, so that's all right. So people will see something that they have not seen.
Yeah, no one.
Not been able to see.
Yeah, I just showed to some really close friends of mine. We had Javier and Carolina helping out at the time.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, copy of the photographs and the film, and you know, we kind of discuss things and brainstorm as the project evolved within that sort of two and a half years window that we worked on it.
Yeah,
but no one else has seen it.
All right, so let's change tech a bit. When did you first pick up a camera? Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember very well. I picked up a camera in 2000. When I was traveling in Indonesia.
How old were you?
I was 20, 21.
Okay, so yeah. It wasn't childhood or anything that it started.
Well, then reflecting back on my childhood, my dad always had, as all the families did, they had a point-and-shoot camera, you know, to photograph birthdays and stuff. And I remember vividly, though, when we bought this video camera, you know, I carried it around everywhere to, you know, annoy all my family. So I was filming everything, and I used to steal my dad's point-and-shoot camera and play and take photographs. But I was never really stimulated in my family to pursue that because they probably had other plans for me that didn't really happen.
Oh, what were their plans?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Oh, I wasn't quite like that.
So eventually, you know, when I was traveling on my own and with friends, with Gustavo, actually. And Gustavo was the same. We had this sort of similar journey into photography.
And did you say, did you go back home and roll in a course? Or?
Yeah. So we traveled quite a bit that time, you know, from 2000 to 2002, 2003. So almost 3 years on the road, and then went back home. And, you know, there's all process when you come back from this sort of large experience. When you see the world, you come back, you're trying to make sense of everything.
Yeah.
So it took a while for me to actually enroll in a course, you know, and like keep sort of pursuing that. But then, yes, I did started my studies in Brazil. And then also when I moved to New Zealand, I ended up doing a Bachelor of Media Arts here as well. And post-grad and
And now you're teaching?
Yeah, no, I'm a lecturer at Waikato Uni, so I teach media and photography and do research. And
so how much of that, those courses at the university are just studying what other people have done, and how much of it is being a photographer, being the artist?
I try to combine both. I think it's a good kind of space, you know, for students, if I can bring my experience as an artist in. And then the theory as well, or, you know, the ideas and things like that. I think it's a good combination.
And do the students need, do they need help accessing their creativity, do you find? Some of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They just need to make sense of how creative they actually are, if they want to, you know. We can all be creatives in one way or the other. But we just need to access those kind of roots, you know, to explore. And so sometimes you just have to be stimulated, and you need to look at references and ideas and engage with stuff. You know, it doesn't springboard out of the blue.
Do you find...
Unless if you're like a Picasso.
Yeah. Do you find that grading students is an impediment to creativity? Here's a controversial question.
Grading
students, marking assignments. Marking their creativity is an impediment to creativity?
Well, actually, I'm going to quote Javier here. He told me once that students mark themselves because they do the work. We're just looking at the work and the criteria in matching a grade and evaluating and offering constructive feedback. So I just that's all I do.
Okay.
I bet you like that one.
There's things I want to say. So I had the experience of going and doing a degree where there was creativity involved and finding the whole experience incredibly disempowering with creativity. I was so concerned about pleasing the lecturers and doing the right thing that I was a long, long way from being in touch with my creativity. I was better at it. I actually took photos at university for fun, and I was doing far more creative stuff there than I was with the course I was doing.
Well, you had a bad lecture, sorry.
I had many bad lecturers, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a topic that intrigues me, and I know that a lot of people come to do something creative, and there's a lot of rules about life that we've internalized, and just rules about things that we internalize growing up, and those things are an impediment.
Well, the lecturer is there to help the student to break the rules, to think out of the box or whatever you call it.
Yeah, you have to think out of the box, but the right way.
Yeah.
Which is, I know that's a contradiction, right? And I'm saying that deliberately, but there was a lot of that.
You know, art practice, there's like things you do. You do your journals and you have to reflect on. Those are useful things to polish your practice.
Yeah.
Right? And do a series of outputs and refine your work as you go, etc. But ultimately, the lecture there, it's a facilitator, you know, it just kind of, it tries to sort of empower the student to use the tools and develop a voice as an artist.
So do you have like assignments that they do?
Yeah.
And they're quite narrow, but do they also have times when it's like you've got to do something, but it's kind of more your choice. You can do what you like.
Unfortunately, students, they kind of tend to prefer some kind of prescription.
Yeah.
So I try to give some ideas, you know, and say if they need to choose a theme, you know, you just go, hey, choose a theme that is close to you or related to your neighborhood or something like that. You just give them some sort of leads, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I had leads working in this Raglan project, and we started off just with an idea, and it was kind of loose, really, you know. We didn't obey any of those other rules of fine art or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and you just followed that, and it defined itself on the way?
Yeah, it was pretty instinctive, actually. Well, Gustavo had this, he had this approach more or less developed, and then he came to me and said, hey, this is what I was doing, you know, let's try this and combine photography and film. And then I was like, whoa, this is really interesting. Yeah, let's do it. But we kind of learned as we went.
Yeah.
You know, that was the journey.
Did you ever have trouble accessing creativity, your creativity? Is that something you needed to work on?
Yeah, we always need to work on, you know. Oh, yeah. But
how do you get yourself in a creative headspace?
Just working with something I'm passionate about it or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, doesn't sound like it's that hard. It doesn't sound that hard for you.
I leave my work, so it's nonstop.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking to you here. I'm thinking about all the projects, ideas. I'm gonna leave here. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It's not like an engineer. You go work from 9 to 5, and then you go home and you switch off. No, creatives, they keep going 24/7. That's the one thing I tell the students, dear. Look, you're into something, you're not going to stop.
Yeah, and the idea may well come in the middle of the night.
Often does in
often, yeah.
Shower. When you're having a shower.
Yeah.
It's a great, great time.
I hear that a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Walking.
Yeah, those times where
driving.
You don't have anything particular to do with your mind.
Yeah.
But you've got a task to perform.
But you just got to keep ticking.
Yeah.
You know? Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm kind of interested in the thing of creativity and getting people to be creative. Because the place I was at, I don't think they were very good teachers, and they tended to put the blame on the students and just say, oh, you weren't cut out to do this.
Yeah, well. No comments on that.
I don't think that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
So, folks, we're talking to Rodrigo Hill. He's one of our DJs. He does a show on Sunday nights from 6 till 8. Was it you this Sunday? No, it was... I can't remember.
No, that was Javier. I'm going to be up next week.
Next week, yep.
Yeah. So just going back to the talk, there is this project.
So that's where I was going to. The talk is this Thursday, 6:30 at the old school.
Yes.
The entry is Koha entry? It's
Koha, yeah.
Koha entry, okay, yeah.
Koha, I think Jacqueline's putting a bar there as well if you want a juice or something else. Yeah, 6:30 starts. It's about 45 minutes. Then we have questions and stuff. Yeah, so come along. I really invite the whole community to come. And, it's a different thing when you're doing a talk about work you did in your own community.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, say, you're going to a conference overseas and then you're showing this kind of this work. It's completely different here. So I feel that there's a greater sense of responsibility to share this work with my community, work that was done with the community, and it was about the community.
Yeah.
So, I hope you all can make it. But there's more, like, this project that I worked with Gustavo, it's going to probably take the main kind of extent of the talk, you know.
Yeah.
But then also going to be showing some other projects that I did, one in Hamilton and one in Raglan that became a book, like a zine.
Yeah.
Yeah, about immigrants. So I hope I'm going to have enough time to show all these projects. But I'm focusing on this really productive period there that I had in Gustavo in, as well, from 2009 to 2013.
Yeah.
It was 4 years there, and I was looking through the work in the archives, and I was like, whoa, we produced so much, you know. We spent millions of dollars in films.
not literally.
No, but I was going, wow, I've used a lot of film.
Yeah. Are you digital these days or still film?
I'm just whatever it needs to be.
It's cheap. It's cheaper on digital once you've got the camera.
Yeah, once you have a good camera, yes.
Yeah. But then you have to have the discipline of not just firing off lots of photos expecting that one will be good.
Well, luckily, I have this mindset of like one or two.
I'm going to get, I've got to get the shot. It is a different headspace.
Yeah, it is a different headspace. But you just have to, I don't know, I like the slow approach. That's why I use the sort of unconventional cameras, because they allow me to slow down and think through the shot a bit more.
So when you carefully. Say unconventional cameras, what are you talking about?
Oh, like probably older film cameras or large format gear or medium format as well.
There's nothing convenient about medium and large format.
No, gear. I actually just bought a large format camera this morning on Trade Me.
Here's the man who said he didn't have gear acquisition syndrome.
Oh, I needed one because
of course you did. Yes, you needed it.
Yeah. Well, they're beautiful, you know. It's like having a Cadillac or something.
I know what you mean. I get it. I totally get it. Yeah.
I understand those cameras. You know, they talk to you. So, it's a beautiful piece of equipment. I'm very pleased.
Should bring it along and talk about it as well.
Yeah. I need to wait for the guy to ship it.
It hasn't arrived in
Yeah, I just
yet.
Did it this morning, Aaron. It was exciting.
Is it in the country or is it overseas?
No, it's in Porirua, Wellington.
Of all the places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was desperately looking for this large format gear because it's hard to find one, a good one these days.
So how big is the negative in a large format?
It's the size of almost a postcard.
Okay. So
it's 4x5.
4x5 inch.
Yeah. A postcard is 5x7, I think.
Yeah, that's huge.
It's quite big, yeah. And it looks
for a negative.
Yeah, if you nail it, it's the most beautiful thing one can ever see or witness.
You truly are a photographer. Awesome.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Awesome. You are. When you talk like that, I know what you mean.
Look, digital is it's fun and stuff, but it's immediate, you know.
I used to take a lot of photos, and I used to take 25, 30 years ago, and I used to take a lot of slide photos, and I loved getting the slides back. And just there was something about the physical slide, which you don't get with digital, and looking into it, and you can just look so deep into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense to talk about because it's just a two-dimensional thing, but somehow it had this depth to it that I can't explain.
Depth, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not against digital. I use a lot of, I use digital a lot. And the cameras now are amazing. You know, the newer ones are coming out.
Oh, it's ridiculous what they can do. Yeah.
Yeah. And the quality, the detail, everything. So, I approach it as like every project needs a specific kind of camera, I think, because there's a language there. There's some sort of idea you're working with. So you need to find the language to express the idea that you're working with.
Yeah.
Right? It's maybe similar to like a painter. Oh, I need a big brush to do the sky, but I'm going to need a small brush to paint the details.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. You don't use one brush for everything. Some may do, but some may not.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So that's the sort of idea. So this other project was talking about the zine book, you know, is about immigrants in Raglan.
Yeah.
And I photographed a lot of fellow immigrants here about 10 years ago.
And there aren't many in Raglan.
There are actually many. I found and I met quite a few of them, and then also, the restaurants here on the main road, we used to have a Cambodian restaurant down the road and Namaste Kitchen as well. And I photographed I can't remember his name, the Ulus, the father.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name now.
No, me neither.
Yeah, that was like 10 years ago. And, a bunch of immigrants here like me. And so, that again, come along because there will be a little bit of for everyone to enjoy, I hope.
Yeah, so that is 6:30 Thursday. old school, quite high entry, drinks available.
Yes, juices and other things.
And I say, I'm not in charge, but I say feel free to talk longer than 45 minutes. I don't know. I don't know how strict they are, but when because I went to Javier's one, and I was like, "Oh, this could go longer."
Oh yeah. I might just go a little longer, but I know there's this sort of attention span thing that you go over 1 hour, you're just gonna.
You know. You've got questions as well.
Maybe about an hour. I think will be enough to cover. You know, there's the Raglan project, then a couple of other sort of portraits I kind of made after that, and then that led into the Hamilton. I did like a street photography documentary thing on Victoria Street.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. Back in 2012, it was called Vic Street. And then that led to the harbor, which is the how I call this project about the immigrants.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to wrap up now.
I probably going to need to go now.
Do you? Got work to do. It is time to wrap up. We've got 10 minutes over when I normally finish, but that's all good.
Thanks, Aaron.
I'll have to edit carefully to make it all fit in for tomorrow's replay. But so we'll see you Thursday, 6:30, old school.
Don't edit me out.
I would never. No, I'll get rid of the music so we can keep the interview.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And on behalf of Gustavo, he just said that was a great honor to be here and photographing and meet all the locals. And he said hello to everyone. And he's missing Raglan, too. So,
yes,
valeu verme.
All right,
that's us.
Thanks for coming in, Rodrigo. All right, folks, end of the show for the day. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back again tomorrow morning.